97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts.
Look, I think the best phrase is simple. It ain't working.
The Mark Reardon Show.
All of this woke world that we're living in right now is not working.
Why are you guys bullying me?
Mark Reardon.
See, presidents can't do much.
I'm done. Do what you want. Pull the plug.
This is the Mark Reardon Show.
Not been perfect, and I'm a knucklehead at times.
I just could probably play that over and over and over again.
Not been perfect, and I'm a knucklehead at times.
Oh, my God. Tim Walz, Governor Walz, what can I say? Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. A beautiful, beautiful day here in our great city of St. Louis. Sue Thomas, how are you?
I am well, thank you. Gorgeous.
I hope you got out today.
Well, a little bit, but not enough.
I went to family golf and hit some golf balls poorly. I just felt like I was going to do some other things, and I felt like I had to get outside because it's so beautiful.
Well, good.
It was a little chilly this morning. I like that fall crispness is in the air. Fred, how are you this afternoon?
I'm great. Thanks for asking. Cool. I took the dog for a walk this morning. It was beautiful.
Yeah. Great weather, and I think we're going to settle into a lot of that. Sue, did you watch the debate last night?
Nope.
You're smart, let me tell you.
I just get the highlights the next day.
I watched in real time. That doesn't always happen because sometimes I just can't take it after a day.
Right.
We've had the debate parties and I've watched them. But this one I was pretty interested in. So I hunkered down in the man cave last night, watched the whole thing. And I will say this. Now, Fred, you watched it, right?
Right, I did.
So for those people who watched it, I think you have this this recognition. But Sue, honest to God, at the beginning, in the first question to Tim Walz, it was almost like a Biden moment. I mean, because I don't know if other people do this when they're watching people on TV or even listening to them on the radio, but I'm like watching for him to get nervous, and he seemed nervous and he was stumbling over the words.
Really?
And it was a terrible start. In fact, I would say even the first 20 minutes of it was
right.
Not very good.
Wow.
Now, in fairness to Tim Walz, I think he clicked a little bit later in the debate and it wasn't as uncomfortable, but at first it was brutal. And I thought, man, this guy is not going to make it for 90 minutes. And of course, he's got the moderators there to protect him over and over and over again.
Sure.
I mean, you know, a lot of people were reacting in real time last night to what was going on with Norah O'Donnell and what's her name, Margaret Brennan. But that didn't surprise me at all because I've seen these two at work for years and I know their level of bias and it's embarrassing. It really is. And we saw it on full display last night. So let's kind of cover some of the lowlights, if you will, and get into the Tiananmen Square situation. Because, look, what we have here is, and, you know, they want to hold Trump's feet to the fire all the time, and J.D. Vance, they want to correct him, just like the ABC moderators. This dude is a serial embellisher or liar. You can pick the word, and that's fine, but he was caught in a lie. He said that he was there for the democracy demonstrations at Tiananmen Square. He was there in China in the aftermath of that, but he made up that he told people, you know, I was there. Well, he wasn't. He was in Nebraska at the time. So the question comes up last night. This is where the knucklehead stuff comes from, of course.
Governor Walz, you said you were in Hong Kong during the deadly Tiananmen Square protests in the spring of 1989. But Minnesota Public Radio and other media outlets are reporting that you actually didn't travel to Asia until August of that year. Can you explain that discrepancy?
Yeah, well, and to the folks out there who didn't get at the top of this, look, I grew up in small rural Nebraska.
Now, I guess they have to do this, right? It's like, okay, before I answer the question, I'm going to have to say I was a prosecutor or I grew up in small rural.
Right.
No, we don't care. We care why you're lying, Tim.
Town of 400, town that you rode your bike with your buddies till the streetlights come on.
Okay,
and I'm
awesome.
Proud of that service. I joined the National Guard at 17, worked on family farms, and then I use
are
the
you
GI Bill.
This is
to
so
become
annoying.
A teacher.
Yeah, so now he's talking about he hasn't got to the point where he's a coach yet. So hang in there for that.
Oh my God.
A young teacher. My first year out, I got the opportunity in the summer of 89 to travel to China. 35 years ago, be able to do that. I came back home and then started a program to take young people there. We would take basketball teams, we would take baseball teams, we would take dancers, and we would go back and forth to China. The issue for that was to try and learn. Now look, my community knows who I am.
Yeah.
They saw where I was at.
Yeah.
They Look, I will be the first to tell you, I have poured my heart into my community. I've tried to do the best I can, but I've not been perfect. And I'm a knucklehead at times, but it's always been about that.
Okay, but so he didn't answer the question, did he?
Not even close.
Right. In fairness here,
I forgot what the question was by the time he's at the end. That is so annoying.
Well, that's what they're hoping for. But this was rare. There was a rare moment of the moderator saying, wait a second. Man, we can't let this go because everyone's going to realize we didn't press him, right? He didn't answer the question.
Governor, just to follow up on that, the question was, can you explain the discrepancy?
Just, all I said on this was, I got there that summer and misspoke on this. So I will just, that's what I've said.
Awkward.
So I was in Hong Kong and China during the democracy protests, went in. And from that, I learned a lot of what needed to be in governance.
There were some great memes that were created in the aftermath of that last
night. That's a word salad.
It is a word salad. They just kind of let him go there. And I don't think that it was too, it probably shouldn't have been too difficult for him to get out of that. But he made it worse, I think, on himself.
So what you're saying is we have two word salad twins running on one ticket.
Jennings did a great job last night. He wrote a column for the LA Times. Yes. That's true. And what we learned about Tim Walz in particular, I'd say that we could say this about Kamala as well. Would you want him in the Oval Office making decisions? Because he seems like he's way in over his head. Meantime, J.D. Vance knocked it out of the park last night. I thought he was awesome. Now, I don't think he won on every issue, and I'll get to that here in a second, but I was very impressed with J.D. last night. And the other thing, you know, I heard this on CNN because I wanted to see what Jennings and the team on CNN was saying, so I tuned into that right after. But they make it seem like this should have been instant built-in advantage for J.D. Walz because he's done this for a... What are you talking about? Tim Walz has been in Congress.
Right.
He's been there for 20-plus years. He's a professional politician. He's not a teacher or a coach or an assistant coach, whatever he was. He is a professional politician. How long has J.D. Walz been in elective office?
A couple years.
2 years. That's it, right? So that's a bunch of nonsense, and David Axelrod and the rest of the team on CNN were trying to, you know, make that seem like, well, you know, he's so polished and everything. No, he's smart. He's smarter than Tim Walz. I think
he's
we realized that.
Yeah.
So, you know, they didn't necessarily go to the eating the cats and eating the dogs, but they did talk about immigration. They talked about Springfield, Ohio. And I love this moment last night, and I don't even think it resonated with most of the American people because this was when they cut the mics. But it's so important because the reason that some people are here in St. Louis that came to the country illegally, that are here in Springfield, Ohio, that are in Chicago, name the city, the reason that they came to the country illegally and now all of a sudden magically are here technically legally is because what J.D. Vance referred to as the Kamala magic wand effect last night. There's just a couple of little different, you know, crossing of the T's and the I's that make them, in theory, legal because of the asylum process. And he does a good job of explaining this last night because they don't want to get into this at all. And he finally, you know, I think before they cut the mics, he made his point.
People that I'm most worried about in Springfield, Ohio, are the American citizens who have had their lives destroyed by Kamala Harris's open border.
Just to clarify for our viewers, Springfield, Ohio does have a large number of Haitian migrants who have legal status. Right. Temporary protected status.
Well, Margaret,
thank you, Senator. We have so much to get to.
We have a lot to get to before you tell the truth. Exactly, we got a lot to get to here. But isn't that interesting that they wanted to make that point right away? Well, you know, you can't say. I think what they're saying is you can't call the Haitians in Springfield, Ohio, illegal aliens or migrants. That's not fair because they're legally here. Well, they're legally here because of a piece of paper, which is what J.D. Vance goes on to explain.
I think it's important because
we're going to turn out of the economy.
Margaret, the rules were that you guys weren't going to fact check. And since you're fact checking me, I think it's important to say what's actually going on.
All right. So that's another thing. They said that they would not fact check in real time. Now, the other thing that's interesting about this is there's a column, at least one or two this morning that I saw where people were ripping on J.D. Vance for whining about that. Well, Tim Walz did the same thing. I mean, the rules were the rules, and they want to fact check him in real time. He's going to shoot back and tell him the truth here.
Thank you, Senator, for describing the legal process.
We have so much to get to.
Listen to Margaret Brennan and the condescending nature. Oh, thank you for explaining the legal process. No, how about the reality of the situation?
Correct.
Most of the American people have no idea what that means. He was trying to get into it, even though it seems like it's in the weeds a little bit here.
Those laws have been on the books since 1990.
Thank you, gentlemen.
The CBP one app has not been on the books since 1990. It's something that
that's when they cut the mics.
Gentlemen, the audience can't hear you because your mics are cut.
So a couple other observations from last night. The second question, I almost just spit Diet Coke out of my nose, was on climate change. The second question of the night was on climate change. Now, they wound it into, inappropriately, because there's no reason to believe that climate change caused any of this, into North Carolina and some of the things that happened with Hurricane Helene. But J.D. Vance tried to straighten him out on that, too. Like, how about we talk about this in human terms, right? The devastation and the failure on the part of this administration to properly respond.
Yes.
I'm outraged by it because, good Lord, load some helicopters up with freaking water and food, and they don't have oxygen tanks for some people. Get that in there. Do whatever you can. I don't care what it takes. And that doesn't seem to ever happen. How difficult is it for someone to start making calls and for action to be taken? I don't understand that whatsoever. All right, so they get to the climate change stuff. What else last night? There were a few things that I didn't think it went great for J.D. Walls on the abortion issue. I really don't.
We've got to do so much better of a job at earning the American people's trust back on this issue where they frankly just don't trust us. I want us as a Republican Party to be pro-family in the fullest sense of the word.
So that was an interesting moment because he sort of admitted that in, I guess, his rationale for changing his position on abortion a little bit more of a moderate position because they're trying to tag him with a national ban and everything is because of the referendum that passed in Ohio. So he's essentially, I think what I heard there from J.D. Vance is the people in Ohio spoke and he was trying to deflect a little bit here. But I don't think that that necessarily won last night. And that's an issue that the Democrats, I mean, if you believe the polling, even with Republican women, they do not want this to kind of move in the direction against Roe v. Wade. What else happened last night? There were a couple of things that were related to the school shooting and the Second Amendment.
You know, we did this debate and then
actually him today, isn't it? That is not J.D. Vance last night. Let's see here. I was trying to get through some of the highlights.
If Kamala Harris has such great plans for how to address middle class problems, then she ought to do them now. Not when asking for a promotion, but in the job the American people gave her 3.5 years ago. I want us as a Republican Party to be pro-family in the fullest sense of the word. You ask about family separation. Right now in this country, Margaret, we have 320,000 children that the Department of Homeland Security has effectively lost. The rules were that you guys weren't going to fact check. And since you're fact checking me, I think it's important to say what's actually going on.
Yeah, that's just a repeat of what I played there on the fact check. So, you know, will it move the needle? That's the question right now. We'll get with Cassie Smedley here in just a couple of minutes. We'll break it down. She is a former RNC press secretary. We'll have also this afternoon Brian Kilmeade. I know he took calls this morning on the situation in North Carolina, so I want to talk to him about that. So, you know, there's seemingly is a consensus that J.D. Vance whipped up on Tim Walz last night. We kind of know why they've been hiding him at this point. I guess, look, if I'm the Democrats, you don't let either of these candidates go in front of a camera in the next 6 weeks because they're bound to say something that's going to put them in harm's way with the electorate. But most of the focus groups, Fred, I don't know if you saw, you know, Luntz had a focus group. CNN had the dumbest people ever. If anyone watched that, they really did. I was watching it last night and they were, I don't know, maybe this is where a lot of the undecided voters are, but they had a group of complete idiots on the stage last night. Now, if that's who the undecided voters are in America, so be it. Maybe they're a bunch of idiots because I don't know who's undecided and who's not decided at this point. But that was not a good representation. But even with that, they were kind of leaning toward, you know, J.D. Vance on a variety of the questions last night. The race, though, is still tight, as Karl Rove points out.
On the 1st of September, the race was 44-7 for Trump, 47.8 in the 538 average. Mm-hmm. As of today, it's 45.9 to 48.5. I mean, this race is stuck. And not to say that it's going to, it may not come unglued at some point, but so far the back and forth, the television ads, the campaigning, the debates have done very little to change the numbers.
You know, that's interesting because the money that's being spent on the part of the Democrats is enormous right now. And I wanted to get one more thing in here because I did, as I indicated, watch CNN last night. I wanted to see what Jennings had to say. He was not on in the early portion in the immediate aftermath of that. And here's the other thing that was funny. Abby Phillips is on CNN, and she's criticized. She's ripping into Tim Walz. You know why she's ripping Tim Walz? because of what he didn't say, not because of what he did say. In other words, she felt, and some of the other hosts on CNN felt, that Tim Walz did not do a good enough job defending Kamala Harris's record and Joe Biden's record. I don't know if you'd want to be in that position, because it's not something that you could easily do. But that was where some of the criticism came from. Here's Jennings' scorecard.
It's pretty clear Vance outclassed Walz tonight. I mean, I was watching this, and all I could think of was, man, Walz is so in over his head. I mean, can you imagine this guy sitting in the White House Situation Room with that facial expression that's like 50% sheer terror and 50% extreme bafflement? I mean, it was amazing, the split-screen difference between a competent Vance and a totally in over his head Walz.
I agree with Scott on that. I mean, and you know, the meme makers were just going crazy last night because you did this little sideways shot of J.D. Vance kind of looking with his eyes, and then Tim Walz's eyes were like bugging out. He's got these hazel eyes, and they caught a couple of images of him where he looked downright scary, like Halloween-esque.
The answer on why he lied about his trips to China and the Tiananmen Square thing was probably the worst VP debate meltdown since Stockdale in 92. You know, who am I and why am I here? It was 2.5 minutes of absolute terrible. For Vance, night of redemption. All the political media has told us that Vance was a terrible pick and Walz was going to bring in all these voters. That charade is now over. Walz does not belong at this level of American politics. Vance does. Final verdict, Tim Walz wandered into the wrong bar tonight.
Yeah, I think he did. But again, that raises the question about whether or not anyone really was paying attention and if there's going to be any independent voters that are going to change their mind. We'll talk about it with Cassie coming up here. Former RNC press secretary Paul Morrow will be with us this afternoon. Fox News contributor, retired NYPD inspector. We're going to talk about Eric Adams with him. There was even something that happened in court related to the New York mayor today. We have Brian Kilmeade in the 5 o'clock hour. We'll talk with Brian about everything that happened last night. And then Chris Clem, who is a former Yuma Sector Border Patrol agent. A lot of immigration talk last night. Chris is awesome. He always reports back, and he'll have something to say about that particular, you know, nuance that J.D. Vance was trying to point out last night. So we're off and running here. It's a Wednesday afternoon, a beautiful one in St. Louis. Hang in there. An interesting article from our friend John Ziegler out in Los Angeles, and I had no idea what it was about because it's from the Missouri Independent. He says, read this and let me know when you want me to comment. I thought, okay, and the headline, John's always very modest, right? But here's the thing, Sue, I think you'll have appreciation for this because you've heard him on this topic. I also think you've not been totally in on this, but the story is credibility. This is an interesting connection. Credibility of state's expert witness questioned in Missouri transgender healthcare trial. And what it says is Missouri's defense of a state law barring minors from beginning puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones will depend on whether the judge in the case puts stock in expert witnesses touting retracted studies and conspiracy theories about Jerry Sandusky. Well, this will get John's hackles up because it's not a conspiracy. And look, I will say this, and I'm about to explain this a little bit to people, but I've listened to John's podcast, and I was someone who doubted in what he's done. Is he's done a series of podcasts on Jerry Sandusky, who, of course, was sent to prison for, in theory, molesting, you know, young boys at Penn State. But the truth of that case is so complicated, and it's there is no better exhibit of media malpractice than the Jerry Sandusky case. And it's very complicated, and I can't explain it all here. But this is what happened in this case. It says Wright County Circuit Court Judge Craig Carter, who's presiding over this lawsuit, will have to weigh the credibility of an expert along with his judgment. Questions of credibility came up yesterday when Missouri Attorney General in the office, it says Missouri Attorney General's office, called as a witness John Michael Bailey, a psychology professor at Northwestern, who testified about how his now retracted study entitled Rapid Onset Gender Dysphoria, which concludes that adolescents identify as transgender as a result of social contagion, which is what they do, by the way. I don't know why they said it's retracted. I'll have to look into that a little bit. But then it says this. It was his social media post about the accusers of Jerry Sandusky that appeared to concern Carter. That's the judge. Sandusky, former football coach, convicted of molesting young boys over a period of at least 15 years. Bailey, Andrew Bailey, repeatedly posted on social media that he believes Sandusky is innocent. Carter says, you believe the people testifying against Jerry Sandusky are lying. Bailey said, I can see that if you're not familiar with the evidence that I'm familiar with, you would be shocked, which is the proper response, by the way. Carter replied, mm-hmm, because anyone who, you know, looks at this case, they're going to have that response. But here's where it gets interesting. Bailey said he had listened to a podcast lauded the work of conservative commentator John Ziegler. Do you know Ziegler? Have you ever talked to anyone that was an eyewitness in that case? Carter asked. I've read testimony, but I have not talked to anyone. And it kind of goes on from there. Now, I sent this back to Zig and said, I know Andrew very well. He loves the show. I think there's a very good chance that Andrew Bailey found the podcast because of this show. But Fred, since you're in the room, John wants to talk about this for sure tomorrow.
Okay,
so let's get him set up and maybe he'll be in a better mood than he was last week because he was super crabby and I had to call him out on that. But that's fascinating. I love that.
Interesting.
Cassie Smedley is with us, VP of COIN, the first credit card for conservatives, former RNC press secretary. Cassie, how are you? Happy Wednesday. I guess it would be Wednesday, right? I'm trying to keep track of the days. I have to lock her in.
With you.
There we go. That was the host. We have a new system here, and every time I go to the phones, I'm not used to pressing the buttons, so I have to train my brain to do that. So I have to ask you how you're doing again. How are you, Cassie?
Well, hey, Mark, I'm great. How are you?
We'll act like that first take didn't even happen. I'm good. I'm curious about your thoughts of what happened last night. I kind of ran it down in the monologue. I thought, you know, if I had to keep a scorecard, I think J.D. Vance did well in probably every area except for two. And I would cite the abortion issue. I don't know that he won that battle with Tim Walz. And, you know, I think even Republican women might not be on the side of where J.D. Vance and Trump are, although there's a more moderate approach than I think certainly in some of the states. And then I think the stolen election stuff just doesn't work. And maybe they seem to think it works, but I don't know why you can't say, let's move on from 2020 and focus on this, which in so many words he did, but that doesn't play well either with the voters. Your thoughts, Cassie?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. However, I think that he got enough points on the board that he won the night without needing those innings. You know, I got to speak in innings today, Mark, because you know I'm a Kansas City girl and the Royals are in the playoffs.
Do you know how painful that is for us here in St. Louis?
I know, but you know I had to say it because I never get a chance.
That's okay. We'll root for him. I can root for him because it's a great story and Bobby Witt Jr. is amazing.
Yes, yes. So with that analogy in mind, I think J.D. Vance had some great home runs early in the evening. He closed out the evening with some home runs so that those innings were fine. Nobody scored any points during those innings. They were made to be disruptor topics, and they weren't. And I think that on the whole, you know, if this teaches you anything, if you're just
hold on, Cassie. We got all kinds of, you sounded like a record that was skipping back in the day. Let's see if we got you a little bit better now. Yeah, I don't know what was happening. That was just a weird technical aberration. So, you know, then the overriding question after any of these things is, first of all, who's paying attention? I think the ratings are pretty good, but you always wonder if people are tuning out. And then will it actually, I saw someone kind of put a little funny graph up there with independent voters and then the debate circle. And do independent voters actually pay attention to this? And who the hell are these people? And will this move the needle, I guess, is the bottom line question.
So I think more so than other situations, prior elections, because we're not getting answers, let alone good ones, out of Kamala Harris. So if you're truly undecided, you are looking anywhere you can to try and get more information. And so this debate was a key piece to your puzzle. But then what else you saw? You saw that since J.D. Vance was announced as the vice presidential candidate, vice presidential running mate for Donald Trump, what has the media done? They've demonized him. They've tried to make him sound weird. They've tried to make you think and question that that decision from Donald Trump. And what did we see last night? That literally everything they've tried to paint him to be was them trying to paint him to be something he's not. He came out, he was incredibly charismatic, charming, he was empathetic, and yet he had such a command of the issues. But not only that, he was a great hype man for his running mate. He was a great hype man for Donald Trump. He could talk about Donald Trump's record. Could honestly do it better than Donald Trump.
Well, that's, you know, a lot of people have made that point. Right. Look, I you probably had texts like this. I was getting texts last night from people, and I saw a couple other folks refer to this on Fox and even CNN with people saying, wait a second, this is like a civil debate. They're talking about issues. Why couldn't these two be at the top of the ticket? Although I would say with Tim Walz, he shouldn't be anywhere near the ticket. But it was civil. The discourse was different than the previous debates, and I think that was refreshing.
I agree. And especially in this moment where everything seems to be heightened and hair on fire, it was a good moment for people to hear about positions and policies and records, which, again, if you're undecided, I think there are more than average number of undecided voters because people don't know Kamala Harris, don't like what they know of her, but maybe don't like Donald Trump. So they're trying to figure this out, right? And from a policy perspective, from an are you better off now than you were 4 years ago perspective, you had a real opportunity to listen to that argument last night from J.D. Vance, which was really important. Now, I don't think J.D. Vance should be at the top of the ticket right now, but I'm really excited for the future of the Republican Party. And I think it was a breakout moment for him that people will point back to 4 or 8 years from now. I absolutely believe. And that's very exciting.
I think you're right about that. I'm not having him on this afternoon. My friend, former Senator John Lamping, who is on the show on a regular basis, said basically the same thing. He texted me last night and said, the future is so bright for the GOP if they let it be. J.D., Vivek represent the next generation. They're bright and articulate. And they're likable, right? So that's something I think that is promising. But in the moment here, we got to keep Kamala Harris from being in the White House, and that still worries me right now, Cassie.
But this is the momentum into the last, 34 days? This is the momentum that Donald Trump and J.D. Vance need. J.D. Vance is going to go barnstorm the country, and now he's got a whole bunch of momentum with him because this national audience got a chance to see him in his element, supporting Donald Trump, supporting the policies of a Trump administration. And so if you had any doubt because you don't like Trump, the personality, now you can say, but he had really good judgment in choosing this guy. And I'm glad to know that these two together will be in the White House. That's what we need. I need the policies of what I felt 4 years ago, and knowing that there is someone who is, frankly, level-headed. If you're an undecided person, I know there are lots of people out there who want Donald Trump, the warrior for the cause, because we do need a fighter. Literally, our world and our country is on fire right now. Nothing is going right. You can't point to one issue area that is going right now. We need Donald Trump to get in there and get some things under control and throw the guys out who are do nothing.
Well, one of the things I think that was a bit of a miss, I always kind of criticize Republicans on this because this came up with health care last night. And this tends to play well with independent voters, and people are concerned because of the skyrocketing costs. And they always want to go back to pre-existing conditions. Now, while it's true that the ACA that was passed, when Obama was president, Obamacare, whatever you want to call it, made it illegal for insurers to deny coverage, there's a law that's been in effect since the late 90s. That says, and this should be repeated over and over again by Republicans, Cassie, and they don't do it. If you have health care, all right, if you've had health care, as long as you don't gap that health care, because think about it, you can gap your health care and then all of a sudden say, hey, let's get new health care when I'm sick. Well, that's been federal law since it's about 30 years that says if you don't gap your health care and your health insurance, you cannot be denied a pre-existing condition. So that's always, for me, a red herring because it's never clarified.
I think that's a really good point. Where I thought you were going with this is I worked on the Hill for a member of Congress who has lots of senior citizens, veterans in our district. But anyway, when we were debating Obamacare in 2008, 2010. And the thing that people forget and that I think Republicans should take ownership of is we were the ones who pushed for coverage for pre-existing conditions. We were the ones who pushed for medical malpractice reform. Two key elements that are actually not bad elements. Everybody agreed with it. There was such broad agreement. But those were things that Republicans said, if you even want to have this conversation, it's a non-starter for you to come to the table without those things always in there. So there should be ownership there to say, on the whole, we don't want single payer healthcare. It's not working. It hasn't worked. But to have that clarity of the things, the elements of this that are working actually are Republican ideas. So to your point, and I think there's something to be said here too on when you got into the abortion conversation, to your point there about the election denial stuff, just call out what is and stop trying to play footsie with the issue, because there are things in there that you're losing people by trying to have
that's
under
my
all
concern.
Sides and
right.
trying to be like, I'm supposed to be against this, when actually there's something in there.
There's legitimate issues that came up from 2020, and you should have some concern moving forward with November, right? But, at this point, if you want to keep calling it a stolen election, and by the way, the other thing, in fairness, is you have a whole host, and there's like a 20-minute montage that someone put together, that might be a slight exaggeration, of all the Democrats saying that 2016 was not a legitimate election, right? It's not a real election. He's an illegitimate president. But, of course, Nora and Margaret didn't want to focus on that last night. What would you say about the equity in our moderators for the last couple of debates? I heard someone was reporting that the Trump team didn't think that that was as bad as ABC and David Muir. I think it might have been worse.
Well, to the extent that it wasn't as bad, it was because J.D. Vance stepped in and called it out, because it was getting ridiculous. But he was masterful in how he forced the issue to say, no, no, not only, hey, he didn't just complain that they were putting their thumb on the scale for walls and fact-checking. He was able to come with the receipts and say, because what you're not telling people is the context, and to go and talk about the app. And that was what was amazing about it. And when they cut off the mics, it was a weak moment for Walz because they were saving him. And I think everybody saw that. And so for J.D. Vance to turn that into a moment where it says, we know we're going to walk in with the stack decked against us. We know that the best moderators in the world are still going to come in with some sort of bias. Even, God bless them, Fox News, they go over and above to try and be balanced. That they sometimes even do it too. So you have to be that much better on the debate stage as a candidate, and J.D. Vance showed how you do that.
I think so, too. Yeah, absolutely. That was great. All right, Cassie Smedley, Kansas City girl, thank you for coming on. Look, the Chiefs are 4-0. The Royals and the Orioles just started. It's in the first inning, and we'll keep everyone posted on that, but they could take out the Orioles if they win this game and then move to the next round. So congratulations on the Royals making the postseason again, and best of luck. We say that sincerely from St. Louis.
Appreciate that, Mark. We'll say it's a great era for Missouri sports. You guys can share in this with us over in Kansas City.
Absolutely. Look, I'd love to see, you know, this would kind of be old school and going back to the 80s, but I lived in Milwaukee for 10 years. I think the Brewers and the Royals would be a great World Series, but probably will not happen.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
One can hope. I think that would be fun. I'm with you. The Midwest series, people will love it.
I love it. All right. Thank you, Cassie. We'll talk soon. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Mark.
All right, we'll see it. Yeah, I don't know if the Brewers are going to be able to recover, because it was funny. We had my friend Bill Michaels on yesterday talking about Pete Rose, because he grew up in Cincinnati, and the Brew Crew was winning, and then they pooped the bed later in the day, and they're out if they lose today. Sooz News coming up after 4. Also, Paul Morrow from Fox News. We're going to talk about Eric Adams, even some new developments in that case. Sue pointed something out during the break. There's a piece, and this has been national news today. There is a story in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch at STL today about Bally Sports Midwest and what might happen with the Cardinals. And this kind of ties in with what I was talking about yesterday, because, and I'll personalize it just briefly here, because for the last 8 or 9 months, I have had both Fubo and YouTube TV. And the only reason I had Fubo is because that's where I can get Bally Sports Midwest, hoping and praying that they were going to have some sort of other arrangement moving forward. And lo and behold, they might, because here's what happened in a courtroom in Texas today. And I guess a lot of people were caught off guard. Diamond Sports Group is the parent company of Bally Sports Midwest, used to be called Fox Sports Midwest, right? And what they said today is that they could drop the broadcast of the Cardinals and several other teams next year as they renegotiate their rights fees. So the Cardinals have a deal right now where they pay them $73 million a year. It was set to grow to 76, I think, next year. And then it ramps up from there. Wow. So the more lucrative, the way this is being positioned, is the more lucrative parts of that contract are not even something that's kicked in yet. Now, from the fans' perspective, because if you think about this, there's several different ways to go. And if you're someone that doesn't have, like if you just have YouTube TV, you don't have Bally Sports, I'm not sure what other streaming services don't have it. Like if you have DirecTV, you got Bally Sports,
right.
Dish, I think, had it. But if you're someone out there, let's face it, you don't have a big sports package. You used to watch these things on over-the-air, you know, television. You can't get it. So I guess the conventionalism of the philosophy right now, this could potentially be a win for the fans, because it gives the Cardinals the option, or at least the opportunity, to negotiate a different deal with somebody else. Now, the way that this article presented it, Sue, is that somebody else could be KMOV, could be KSDK, right? I don't know exactly, but what they say is that the Cardinals had a 15-year, $1.1 billion deal with Bally, and they say that that included a slice of ownership and the opportunity for the value of the deal to grow. But then they said that as the model eroded, it became clear that that would not be the case. The Cardinals continued to get their year-by-year rights fees. And that's where they go into the math here. They got 73 million. The number set to grow for 2025. Now, they looked at starting their own network, and I think these other teams have as well. Amazon has been mentioned as a potential landing space for this as well. They get into the Campbell v. KSDK thing. They say several local television stations have expressed interest in talking to the Cardinals if the rights would become available. Keep in mind, they would have to bid on this. They'd have to say, here's what we're going to pay you, and they have to be, you know, somewhat certain that they would have a return. Now, the thing about this is, I suppose, if Camo V, and they're owned by Gray Media, let's just use them as an example. If they're home base for the Cardinals, then they would, you know, distribute that to the rest of the affiliates throughout Missouri and the Midwest, right? Because you can watch, this is where I think it gets confusing. I'm pretty sure, even if you don't have the MLB product one-on-one, if you have a different, well, if you have a service and you're outside of St. Louis, I guess is what I'm trying to say, you could still get Bally Sports Midwest, depending on where you are. In other words, if you're in Chicago, can you get Bally Sports Midwest? I don't know that.
I see what you mean. I don't either.
That might complicate things more. The bottom line is we don't know what's going to happen here, and this was a bit of a surprise from this Texas courtroom today, but I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing for the fans, because I think what I'm hoping is they work something out that makes this a little bit more accessible, whether it's direct streaming, if they just have the St. Louis Cardinals app and you pay $7 a month. Now, people might not like that, okay, but you're going to have to pay for this one way or the other,
exactly.
Or they're not going to make enough money to have revenue generated to pay players, et cetera. So we have, you know, there's a guy in town, Patrick Risch, who is, I think he's at Wash U now, used to be at Webster University. He's sort of the sports marketing and the sports business expert. We'll have to get him on to maybe explain some of this. In the next hour, Paul Morrow will be here. We're going to talk about Eric Adams in that case because it's still a little mysterious. You even have more members of his staff that have been detained and their phones have been taken away. He was, I think, back in court today. Mark Gelman's going to join us briefly from the Gelman team because I always mentioned these break room concerts that my friend John Lynch puts on. It's breakroomconcerts.com. Martin Sexton, who is fantastic, is coming this weekend to Forest Hills Country Club, and he's doing something a little different. He's going to do a Beatles tribute, Abbey Road. So if you're a Beatles fan, even if you don't know who Martin is, you'll have a great time. And Mark and the Gelman team has offered a bit of a matching opportunity to raise some money because these concerts are always for charities, and this is for the Susan G. Komen Foundation. So Gelman will outline that. We got Kilmeade coming up in the next hour here. He'll talk about everything that happened last night and also on the radio show. I heard him talking about this earlier, Sue. He took a bunch of calls. There are people that are just desperate right now in North Carolina. It is heartbreaking.
I
watched a couple people sent me some videos. I don't know if you've seen any of these. They're very difficult to watch, and not all of this turns out very well, but the one that I watched yesterday turned out pretty well, and it was a bunch of people essentially on the bank of a river. And when I say that, it might have been essentially the bank of just a road that became
a river. It's hard to know.
I don't know. But in this particular situation, there was a house that was completely almost underwater, and there was a woman that was trapped, and she started floating down the river, and there were people that were kind of tracking her. But again, you know, I was thinking just myself, what would you do in that situation? You could die yourself, right? You're even told, I think, you know, emergency personnel would tell you, wait until the professionals are there. But this woman is screaming. She looks like she's going to drown. They're trying to get her closer to the shore. And her husband's freaking out. He can't, anything. And some guy wades out there, swims out there, and, you know,
gets her. Oh,
and
that's great.
They had it all captured on film. Now, you know, I don't have time for the soundbite here, but there was a terrible interview this morning on Fox with a woman who was talking about, you know, her son, and her son was in the water screaming, Jesus, save me, Jesus, save me, and he did not make it.
Oh, my gosh.
Just heartbreaking, devastating. We'll talk a little bit more about that in the next hour as well. Fox News is up next. After that, Sue's News on 97.1 FM Talk.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.